Please read items 1243 and 1244 together. We'll vote separately, but please, or excuse me, we won't. They're presentations. 1243 and 1244.
1243, presentation regarding partnership between the Portland Rose Festival Foundation and Portland Parks and Recreation. And 1244, Portland Rose Festival Foundation updates.
Very good. Commissioners Fish and Fritz.
Fritz will take the first one, Mayor, and I'll take 44.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your partnership on this. I know that both of us are very fond of the Great Rose Festival Foundation and great partnership. And this first report is about the partnership with Portland Parks and Recreation. The Rose Festival Foundation runs the garden store at the Washington Park International Rose Test Garden, which many people know just celebrated 100 years and a new walkway and more accessibility thanks to the Fix Our Park bond measure. The store is really a key stopping place for lots of visitors, including myself. Pretty much everything roses you could possibly imagine is on sale at that store, and just some really great holiday gift ideas, if I might just put that in right now. And we very much appreciate the partnership, which is good for the foundation and also good for the city. Thank you.
So we're going to have a... I'll hold my comments until after this presentation. So, Jeff, you want to come forward?
Okay, so I think I'm inviting Rachel Burlington, the Rose Garden Curator, Seth Menser, the Washington Park Operations Supervisor, and Jeff Curtis and Lilia Valencio from the Rose Festival Foundation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And, Jeff, before you get started, I just want to say that for those that haven't been to that gift stop, I usually go there the week before Christmas and finish up all my Christmas shopping. And one of the cool things that you have there is books about various historic parks in our system. And those are sometimes hard to find, but there's one place you can go to get the history of Washington Park, the history of other things. So really appreciate that store.
So my name is Rachel Burlington. I'm the Rose Curator up at Washington Park at the International Rose Test Garden. So Mayor, Commissioners, Director, on behalf of myself and all the fellow Portland Parks and Recreation staff, the countless volunteers that make this Rose Garden such a special place to us and the city of Portland, I'd really like to express our gratitude of our longstanding relationship partnership with the Rose Garden Festival, the Rose Festival Foundation. It's not just the financial contribution, but it's our daily interaction and support that we get on a daily basis from the foundation that really means a lot to us. The International Rose Test Garden makes many hands to make it bloom, and we recognize and really appreciate all that the Rose Festival Foundation has done for it in the City of Roses.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate our partnership, distinguished council. I'm Jeff Curtis, CEO of the Rose Festival Foundation. It's an honor to be here and tell what I think is one of the best kept secrets within the city and how this partnership was created and what it means to both the Rose Festival Foundation and the City of Portland and the park system. And I want to just share a slide that is appropriate to honor former Commissioner, Bureau Director Charles Jordan. He had the vision for this. He had the vision for the City of Roses. His time as Director of the Bureau, he saw what the Rose Festival does, saw the power of the Rose, and saw an opportunity for a partnership to build a small store and have it operate on the private side by an independent nonprofit, the Rose Festival. And it made sense in that context. So we honor Mr. Jordan for his vision for making this possible and building this store some 16 years ago. Specifically, it's very small. Lily will talk in detail a little more about it, but it's just 450 square feet. But it has a tremendous impact on a daily basis. The mechanics of this partnership is one where we operate it. We receive a set commission by those net proceeds. with the majority going to our park system directly. And at the end of this presentation, we'll give you a cumulative total, which ultimately is a very significant number that helps our park system. So at the end of the day, it's been a wonderful private-public partnership. It certainly serves a purpose for the Rose Festival itself. It gives us year-round branding in the context why it's not a festival store. It does connect the Rose Festival, the spirit of the Rose City with us, which is in our city, in our mission. And allows us to have some retail activity. And most importantly, in today's world, providing dedicated funding to some sort is a critical part of our operations. Going forward, there's an opportunity moving ahead with the Washington Park Master Plan. There's opportunities to look at that store, to integrate that, which is in consideration by our Parks Department. Appreciate that. And as well as the idea of having a visitor center up there, which is right now that store serves that purpose. So we're excited about continued conversations with our Parks Department on that. With that said, I think it's really important to acknowledge and appreciate one of my employees, Lilia Villasenor. We hired her 10 years ago to run this store, and it's her hard work and dedication that has turned into the results that we're sharing with you this morning. I'd like to have Lilia say a few words.
Good morning. My name is Lilia Villasenor. And first, just as a little intro to who I am, I was actually born in Mexico and lived there for the first 6 years of my life, raised in California, where I met and married a native Oregonian. So thus, I landed in Portland 35 years ago. And interestingly enough, my very first job was with Portland Parks at the Children's Museum located at Lair Hill. Obviously, my life has taken many turns, and almost 10 years ago, I accepted this job as manager of the Rose Garden store. Reflecting back on the past 10 years, I am really struck by the word community. And as Rachel, who is new actually, stated earlier, you know, it is about community. And in this short period of time, Rachel and I already feel that community, which I think is very important also in the city of Portland. Everybody who comes to my store, as some of you have already alluded to, feels they are part of the Portland community. And it is our pleasure to welcome people from around the world. I am lucky to have an amazing crew who all serve as ambassadors to the city, who love our city, and who are more than willing to give restaurant names, you know, what to do, where to go. I also have some amazing volunteers, and keep in mind our store is now seasonal, and these are volunteers and employees who come back year after year. My volunteers have been there over 9 years. Two of them followed me from a previous job. One of them just turned 94 years old. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, that community, as I said earlier, includes everybody up in Washington Park. And in addition, I've really sought out local vendors because that to me is also very important. It is one of the first questions customers ask, where does this come from? And I love to be able to say from Portland, or, you know, I have a window where I say if I can get it in Portland, I get it in Portland, then it's Oregon, then it goes on and on like that. But if you're from New York, unless I cannot get it anywhere else, you're not going to be in my store. Anyway, just as a small little window into my world in sourcing vendors, I had a local vendor I found at a bazaar who made soaps and lotions. I asked him to make a votive candle for me, which he had never done. He proceeded to do it, and of that little candle, we have sold over 13,000. Which translates to dollar amount, $33,420. Not bad. You will each be receiving one of these candles, and I hope you enjoy it and come up and visit us sometime. In addition, I've managed to get local larger companies to support us, Stash Tea, after much consideration, have branded two teas for us, which we sell in the store very well. In addition, Smith Tea. Before Stephen Smith passed, we had a tasting and came up with a Rose Festival tea that also does really well. in all. I have over 20 local vendors that I deal with. And Jeff alluded to the size of our store. It is 438 square feet, to be exact. And in the retail industry, we look at square foot, how much that per square foot your sales, and that translates for 2017, which actually was a little below what I would have liked due to all the construction. But our sales were still about $600,000, and that translates to $1,358 per square foot, which is very high in the national standards for retail. I thank you for your continued support of the Rose Garden store. I feel honored and privileged to be running this store and look forward to a fantastic 2018.
Well, thank you very much. I just have to interject and say the fact that you've got so much stuff in a very small space makes it really interesting to me. I often go around two or three times and keep seeing more stuff. So thank you for that. And I also appreciate you welcoming Rachel Burlington, who is the new curator of the Rose Garden after Harry Landers, the longtime curator, retired in a blaze of glory, I would have to say.
Absolutely.
And I think that in closure, it's about the context of what it means to the parks system and the dollars and cents. And we delivered a check last June to Commissioner Fritz and the Bureau to the tune of $157,000, which was Portland Parks, which is a direct contribution to Portland Parks and Rec for 1 year of those sales. That's significant amount of commitment. I can tell you today we're still in that process. We've closed our fiscal year for the store, and there'll be an auditing process. But by next spring, we're likely to present a check to you in the amount of $125,000. So a little bit of down, as Lilia said, a little bit less due to the construction volume at the store. But still, when you look at the life of the store, the vision of Charles Jordan, the commitment of prior councils, and your commitment to continue this, it adds up to nearly $1.3 million based on just selling Rose merchandise. A true partnership. We're thrilled to continue that and look forward to continuing in the future. Thank you. Well,
thank you. Is the store open for shopping over the holiday season?
It is. It is open hours? 10 to 4, 7 days a week until right. December 21st.
So get there while the getting's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, we now have a second related matter, which has already been read. So we'll welcome Jeff Curtis back and ask Jeff. Jeff is joined by board members Kara Stoudemire and Amy Johnson. If you would please come forward and join Jeff. And I have a few introductory remarks. Earlier this year, Mayor Wheeler assigned me as council liaison to the Portland Rose Foundation. Now, as we all remember, in the year of 2010, Council declared the Rose Festival to be the official festival of the City of Portland. It serves as our premier annual event and showcases the best of Portland, with over 1 million people visiting our city because of the various activities. It's an integral part of Portland's identity, and we're so proud of the partnership, Jeff, and so grateful for the many ways the foundation benefits our city. It's year-round work, it's hard work, and each festival requires all hands on deck. Today we're going to get an update on their work. And Jeff is joined by, as I mentioned, two board members. And I'll turn it over to you, Jeff, for the annual presentation, and welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, distinguished counsel, Mayor Wheeler. Thank you very much. We realize that your agenda is very full and really appreciate this opportunity as your official festival to come up and brief you. I'll give you what we're going to do this morning, give you a little bit of a recap and go back in time to 2017 with some facts and some of the things that we experienced in 2017 and share with you the momentum that's building for 2018. But what we wanted to do is show the true character of the Rose Festival Foundation, why I am the CEO and I have the opportunity to be in my job to be steer the ship on a day-to-day basis and talk to you on a regular basis. It's really the people that make up this organization, the people that you know may not even ever meet that we've invited you today, but they're just a cross-section of a board and a family of volunteers, of citizens that make up the Rose Festival now. And they represent the history, and they represent the future itself. So we're going to tell the story through their eyes. And then I'll give a very factual update on what happened in 2017 and some facts about 2018. Certainly have time for some questions, but want to be respectful to the time you've given us this morning. So at this time, I want to introduce and have Kara Stoudemire-Phillips say a few words. She's been on our board for since 2002 and a distinguished member of our team. Kara?
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see so many of you again. As Jeff said, my name is Kara Stoudemire-Phillips, and I want to share my personal story about why I love the Rose Festival. To me, as a native Portlander, I believe that everyone should have their own Rose Festival story, and here's mine. So every year, from the moment I could remember, my parents and my aunts and uncles took me and all my cousins to the Grand Floral Parade. That was our annual event. We also went to the Starlight Parade and, of course, to the Junior Parade, but it was the Grand Floral that was my favorite. And it was in 1983 that I actually fell in love with that parade. And it was that year, that June, when I was 8 years old, that coming around that corner was someone that I knew. Somewhat the first time I saw someone that I knew on the court, on the Rose Festival court. Her name was Marla, and she was my neighbor's girlfriend, and she was a Rose Festival princess, and she looked like me. She had brown skin like me. She had black hair like me. She had a bright smile like me, and that let me know that I could do that too, and that's the day that I fell in love with it. When she saw me, I was mesmerized, and she scrambled to find a rose on that float, pulled it, and tossed it to me, and I kept it for years. That was when I fell in love with the Rose Festival. Later on, I did run for princess and for a junior court, and then also for a senior court in high school. I did not win, but that did not take away my love for the Rose Festival, because seeing Marla that day inspired me to know that I could do it too. And so after that, when I was invited in 2002 to join the board, I jumped at the chance, because not only was I going to be able to give other girls the opportunity to see someone that looked like them, not just on court and not just participating in parades, not just participating at events, but actually wearing this blue jacket and making decisions and being out there, being an avid volunteer and advocate of the Rose Festival. So like I said, I took that on, and 15 years later, yes, I joined when I was 10, I am still here. And it's because of that, wanting people in my community to see people that look like them, to be a part of the Rose Festival, to let them know that this is for us, this is for everyone, this is for all of Portland. And so the first committee that I joined was the court committee. And I'm a graduate of St. Mary's Academy, but I requested to support Jefferson's program. St. Mary's is a wonderful, amazing school that did great things for me, but I felt that the students at Jefferson High School could benefit from seeing me more than the girls there. And so that's where I remain and have served in that capacity for many years. I have also joined other committees, and it's been a pleasure to join committees and work on events that I actually attended as a child, and to now actually be behind the scenes. And back then, I didn't know that all of the people that had on these jackets and also the people that wear the white jackets are volunteers. We are all volunteers, and we do this because we enjoy it, because it's a tradition, and we want to be a part of that tradition and keep that going. I'm now a mother of two, and my kids have gone to the parade since they were born. They have gone to every parade. I drag them there, even when they didn't want to all the time, but it's a tradition that's a part of our family. My husband is a New Yorker, and he goes to the parades. He thinks it's absolutely amazing that we have this week-long festival of parades, three huge parades. He's gone to parades in New York, but he's never seen anything like what we do here. People come from all over the world to be a part of this, and I take great pride in being a part of it and being able to showcase our city and being able to showcase the Rose Festival. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. It's a great story.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, Karis. Great. Amy Johnson, member of our team, board since 2005. Has also a similar story of growing up in Portland. I'd like her to share her story and her commitment to this great organization. Amy?
Thanks, Jeff. As Jeff said, my name is Amy Johnson, and I have been a board member since 2005. However, I'm also known as Princess Amy from David Douglas. David Douglas doesn't have the history that other Portland schools do when it comes to Rose Festival, and in 1996, I was only the fourth princess ever elected for my school. And for East County, our inclusion in the festival was, and still is, a big deal to our community and our school. It is no secret to anyone who knows me that the Portland Rose Festival is an organization and mission that I'm passionate about and is something that has impacted me in multiple ways and on so many levels. My journey to the festival came simply because I wanted to accomplish more than I was expected to. My divorced parents were blue-collar workers, and I lived with my mom and younger sister. While my parents did the best they could, they both lacked an education and an understanding of how to be successful in school. We received public benefits while I was in high school because my stepdad, a convicted felon, was serving time in the federal penitentiary. My mom's focus was just getting us through the next day, the next week, make sure there was food on the table and heat in the house. And me, well, it's probably not shocking to you that I was a bit unique in high school, with a shaved head and chains and spikes on my oversized clothes. But I was on the school newspaper and coached third grade girls basketball and was in all the advanced classes and got good grades. I was fortunate to have attended a school like David Douglas with teachers who encouraged me to embrace and be proud of my quirky personality. I really wanted to pursue higher education, which would have made me the first person in my family to attend college. I spent most of my junior year filling out dozens of scholarship applications and being rejected by every single one. I didn't have a college savings fund, and my parents were not capable of contributing to the cost of my education. By the time I reached my senior year, I was resigned to the fact that I would not be attending college. And then I was invited by one of my teachers to learn more about the Rose Festival Court. I laughed, of course, imagining myself among the more traditional court. I mean, my hair was less than an inch long, and I couldn't even wear a crown. But I went to the meeting anyway, enticed by the possibility of a $2,100 scholarship. I spent the next few months going through the application process, culminating in a lengthy interview session that included 35 other girls from my senior class. And the rest, as they say, is history. I became Princess Amy from David Douglas with an undercurrent of gossip about why I had a shaved head and how that would impact my ability to serve on the court. I had little idea just how controversial my lack of hair would be in the community, but the support I got from the Rose Festival staff, my classmates, teachers, and administrators in my district, and from my fellow court members was critical as I navigated through such an odd debate. Nonsense, the other princesses would spout to their friends and family members when asked about me. She's the same as the rest of us, smart, kind, and generous. Starting from when I was a Rose Festival princess 21 years ago, I was influenced and challenged to be a better version of myself because I was surrounded by court members who were and still are ambitious, driven, independent, successful, intelligent, gracious, and amazing women. I took my scholarship and completed a bachelor's degree in communications at Merrillhurst University and have gone on to do leadership work in the nonprofit industry. This year, as I'm celebrating my 12th year as a board member, I continue to be influenced by the amazing people who I serve with, the incredible staff I have the privilege of working next to, and the community groups and people who I build relationships with every single year. More than two decades since I became the first and only Rose Festival princess with the shaved head, I'm still pushing the envelope at the festival, trying to lead people in positive and impactful ways, not being afraid to say what I think, and finding new ways to serve our community through our events. I've been honored multiple times by my colleagues at the festival for my passion, my drive, my enthusiasm, my energy. I'm still speechless in describing what my role in Rose Festival means to me, from my days as a princess to my current role as a board member. It is truly an honor to be standing with some of the most amazing, influential, and generous people in our community, and then to be told that I have inspired others. It has come full circle. I'm proud to be a member of a board and part of an organization where I can do the kind of meaningful work that is so important to me and who I am as a woman. The Rose Festival Court embodies the values of strong, independent women and encourages growth, and without that, I would not be the person I am today. I am a mother raising smart and independent children who, of course, love the festival. I'm an avid volunteer, and I'm confident with a strong sense of self-esteem, and I have also had the courage to start my own foundation that serves our community in unique ways that are significant to me and my family. After all these years, my community work with the festival continues to challenge me in different ways. I am grateful for those who let me fail, give me tools to succeed, throw up a roadblock when necessary, and always recognize that my passion comes from the deepest and most intimate places of my heart, because Rose Festival is my heart. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Karis. I'd like to bring up Leslie Goodloe and Brett Baker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to start off. Leslie, you're going to go first. A familiar face, many of you, a City of Portland employee. But to us and our Rose Festival family, she's family. She's grown up around our festival and has had an amazing impact as our centennial year president. She's past president, but that doesn't mean past. She's incredibly active. I'd like to have Leslie say a few words.
Well, good morning, commissioners and mayor. As you know, I work for the Portland Housing Bureau during the day, and in the evening I spend my hours working on getting ready for the Rose Festival Court program. Some of you may have heard this story, but I moved to Portland in 1971 from a small town in Illinois, and my very first parade was in 1971. My family, we walked to the parade route with a wagon, and we joined thousands of other people in watching the parade, and I have been to or participated in every parade since 1971, save one, and that's because my daughter was being born, so I hope I can get a pass on that one. My parents were very staunch supporters of the Rose Festival, and they were both very proud of the fact that I was going to be president. Unfortunately, they both passed away before they got an opportunity to see me as president, but I know that they were very excited about that. Both my daughters have volunteered with the Rose Festival. My oldest daughter, she started when she was 10, and she recently became a board member, so she's second generation Rose Festival board director. And my younger daughter was fortunate enough to be selected as a princess in 2013 representing Benson High School. She, like Karis, saw the princesses in the parade and when they would come to SEI, and from the time that she was probably 4 or 5 years old, she said, I'm going to be one of them. And when she was a junior, she decided she was going to try out. And despite the fact that she was very nervous and concerned that she would not do well, she won. And I think I was probably more surprised than anybody else. And there's a video somewhere that demonstrates my surprise when I got up and started to walk out of the room because I was so excited. My being president of the Rose Festival in 2007 was probably one of the biggest honors that anybody could ever have had. Not only was I the fifth woman to ever be president, but I was the youngest person, and to date, I'm the only African-American to ever hold that honor, although Miss Terry will be president next year. She will be the seventh woman and the second African-American to hold that honor. The Rose Festival Court Program, as you've heard from both Karis and Amy, is an integral part of the Rose Festival, and I have worked with it since 1999 when I joined the board. I, too, tried out for the court when I was in fifth grade for the junior court. And then in high school, I didn't win. One of friends of mine won. But as I tell people, I wasn't a princess, but I got to be president. So I think it evens out. The Rose Festival Court Program is not a pageant. Lots of people think that that's what it is. It is not a pageant. These are young women that want to go to college, and so they work very hard to win a scholarship that's provided generously by the Randall Group. I've done research of other programs across the country, other festivals that have court programs, and we give one of the largest scholarships in the country for young women to go to college. And each of our 15 princesses gets a scholarship. Some programs, only the queen gets a scholarship, but each one of our princesses gets $3,500. We're also the only program in the country that pairs up our princesses with a mentor. Unitas Community Credit Union, another one of our wonderful partners, pairs up each of our princesses with one of their women executives to help them answer questions, to just be another role model, to be another person that can support these young women as they go through college and into their careers. Since 1999, over 2,000 young women have participated in the court process. And some of them won and some of them didn't. But all of them were able to build on their interview skills and their public speaking skills by participating in the process. I'd like to say that the Rose Festival, as Jeff said, is my family. My children grew up with the festival. And a woman asked me a couple weeks ago when I was doing a presentation about the CORE program, why do I give my time to this when there are so many other opportunities for volunteering? And my answer to her was that I grew up with this. This festival brought a lot of joy and happiness for my family, and it's only right that I do the same for others. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie. Introduce our current president, Mr. Brett Baker. Brett?
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Well, I have a tough job following those dynamic women, but I'll try. So before I jump into that, Leslie, thanks again for handling the court. Leslie's done that for how many years?
This will be my fifth year.
It's a big job, and just think of all the impact she's had on
quite a few young women.
By the way, we all have Leslie stories, but I think, speaking from my colleagues, one of the highlights every year is meeting the young women again at the St. John's Parade, and they are enthusiastically received during the parade. And afterwards, we meet in a little church just off the end of the parade route, and we have a chance to sit down and share a meal with the young women. They then do their presentation again, and then the mayor and council members get to meet them and some of their family members, and there's Leslie off to the side, sort of making sure everything goes according to plan. They're a remarkable group of women, and my recollection is this year the entire court are young women of color. 13 out of 15. What an accomplishment. So thank you.
All right. So good morning. Again, I'm Brett Baker. I have the honor of serving as the president of the Rose Festival Board of Directors for 2017-2018. And it's really important to me personally that I thank the City Council for supporting Mayor Wheeler's appropriation of $100,000 this past year for the Rose Festival. The funding was critical to our efforts to provide the necessary safety plan and continue the programming elements of the Grand Floor Parade that sets the parade apart as one of the best in the world. The 2017 Portland Rose Festival was produced under greater pressure and anxiety over public safety than ever before. Sadly, terrible events, both locally and on the world stage, leading up to the festival had an effect. With that said, we saw an incredible commitment from city bureaus, particularly the Portland Police Bureau, PBOT, and Portland Parks, who all worked together with the Rose Festival officials in coordinating a safety plan that proved to be successful. We thank all city bureaus for their efforts in assisting us. We are lucky to have an organization with an incredible commitment to volunteer resources, as you heard earlier. I'm fortunate to lead a 54-member board of directors committed to the mission of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation in producing the city's official festival. The board stewards an entire volunteer force in the thousands. Rose Festival board members collectively gave over 5,000 hours of time in planning and producing the Rose Festival events and programs. Like many of us in this room, my happy relationship with the Portland Rose Festival goes back to my childhood, when my parents and grandparents brought me to the events that they attended as children. And it has been fun for me to take my own daughters to the same events I got to enjoy as a child. It makes memories for families and is one of the most impactful things that binds our city together in a positive way. Then, as an adult, I began to appreciate the festival even more. I became the commercial banker for the festival quite a few years ago. And then about 10 years ago, I joined the board of directors. It has been very satisfying for me as a board member and as a business person to watch the investment of our time and resources in this organization and to witness the positive economic and social impact it has had on this community. With that, am I going to reintroduce you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me reintroduce our friend Jeff Curtis. Jeff, of course, as you know, is the CEO, and he's going to complete this report this morning. Jeff is celebrating his 20th year on staff. It's hard. You don't even look that much. And his 14th year as CEO. His tenure is unprecedented in the events industry, where Jeff also plays an important role. In January, he will become the chairman of the World. He will be chairman of the World Board of International Festivals and Events Association, the trade organization for big festival and events around the world. This is only the second time that anyone from the Rose Festival has led this organization, and it's the first time since 1974.
But you're not going away, right? That's
no.
In addition to
the No, no. We just renewed his contract. Jeff Curtis has become a force in the special events industry, which says a lot about what an important asset it is to Portland and Portland's official festival. We're very proud of Jeff, and it's my pleasure to introduce him to you again now.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Council. And that IFEA piece, I think I feel it is a responsibility to take the Rose Festival's time and talent, including the staff, with my partnership with Marilyn Clint behind me and team, to take our excellence and broaden and contribute to the events industry worldwide.
Jeff, by the way, congratulations for the honor, but we can't take any chances. Would you please surrender your passport?
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Nick. You know, it puts the Rose Festival on that global stage, and appropriately so. For 100 being 112 years old, one of the largest festivals in the United States, and recognized globally. My role there is to be a steward of the events industry, but also represent Portland, Oregon. In fact, I was just at IFEA's world headquarters yesterday, flew back last night, discussing the 2018 year, those issues that affect all events, including issues that affect cities and how they manage and produce events. So look forward to further conversations with Council about that as we continue to lead the events industry. Specifically, I want to give you an update and go back. I've had a chance to, with the liaison role, to go back in time with you to 2017 to give you some facts about what happened to the Rose Festival Foundation, what we experienced, and how we propel forward as an organization, but also with you as in partnership. I want to take you back to April 25th, 2017. I got a phone call from the 82nd Avenue of Roses organization canceling their parade, of which set a whole precedent of conversations about safety of events and potential violence. And that was a Rose Festival sanctioned event, so it really set up a lot of questions going in and frankly, a distraction to the core purpose of Rose Festival. Later, a few weeks later, on May the 19th, there was a carnival incident in Port Townsend, Washington, and the Rose Festival has a large carnival that had media implications. It was a minor one, a couple people injured, but still set the question of what are you doing for safety of pedestrians, of your participants. Just one little episode, but it all adds up. On May the 22nd, just 3 days later, and yet just on the footsteps of the 2017 Rose Festival, Manchester, England, bombing outside a major concert, continues to set the stage for concern over public assembly at events, leading right on the forefront of the 2017 Rose Festival. We're about to welcome the world to Portland, Oregon, and celebrate. And then on May the 26th, we all know that date very well. It was the opening day of Rose Festival. 10 minutes before we opened the doors, the tragedy on our MAX line sets the stage for Portlanders to be concerned. At the same time, Portlanders were just numb and raw about that tragic event, appropriately so. Just 2 weeks later, June the 4th, another date you'll remember, public demonstrations in downtown Portland, taking place right when the Rose Festival's happening, on our major event days on that Sunday, and then also having a little bit of rain. But through all that, what I will tell you as a CEO, and important to understand, I've never been more proud of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, its volunteers, for its delivering on its core purpose that we do for this community, the purpose of uniting us, not dividing us. Through all those circumstances, Rose Festival leaders had one of our best produced events collectively. From a safety standpoint, people came to Rose Festival events. They saw the need to celebrate. But that definitely came at a cost. All those cumulative efforts came at a cost. We saw a fairly dramatic reduction in attendance at City Fair, which is our waterfront event, which ultimately is our primary fundraiser. So I do think it's important to acknowledge and share with you some financial facts related to the Rose Festival in 2017 and how we addressed those. We have a slide for you that shares that we definitely will incur a loss in 2017, roughly a little over $250,000. As a nonprofit, that's something you obviously look to avoid at all costs, but that was very real and direct cause of most things out of our control that I described. As an organization that produces its festival with great pride and financial care, you look to do so with break-even or surplus. In our case, look for a surplus to build our reserves. So that's the bad news for 2017. That definitely had an impact on us, and I want to share with you how we're managing that. The good news is, through good stewardship and good partnerships, both from the private side as well as with City Council, we've been working on a reserve for over 10 years, currently $640,000, towards a goal of $1 million. That's your rainy day fund. That's to ultimately, that our job as an organization is to be good stewards now to ultimately put this festival in a good place in the future. So having reserves are critical. And the good news is we've made significant contributions to our reserves over the years. We'll take a little bit of a hit in 2017, but at the end of the day, we still have resources to pull forward. And that's the key message for you and the public. Despite those circumstances that I laid out for you and that happened in 2017, we're ready for 2018, and Portland is ready for 2018. We're ready to put those behind us. And here's the context of it, what's happening within the walls of Rose Festival Foundation. First of all, we've done our own due diligence, reduced our staff some, looked at our cost structure. But we've made a very important strategic decision to embrace and continue to invest in public safety at our events, but also to invest in our core programming. Meaning that the public embraces and loves is defined as our waterfront events, our parades, our court program, and what we do from a philanthropic standpoint. That's what is not going to be changed. That's what we'll continue to invest in 2018. That's what the public's going to embrace. That's what people appreciate. We're going to invest and manage those events appropriately so. And our charitable impact will maintain strong because those events allow us to put, especially nonprofits, on a stage, especially with our parades. So an investment in our core events multiplied with enthusiasm for 2018 and the opportunity it presents, coupled with the private side of sponsorship sales, other efforts, we like our chances of turning that reduction, that deficit around significantly in 2018. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take partnerships from the public and certainly our continued support from City Council. But that is what we're looking to do. Ultimately, the 2018 goal is to balance the books, but most importantly, embrace who we are. What you heard today, embrace that. The power of people. The power of people will connect and continue to do so. Engage stakeholders across our community. At the same time, not to inherit any risk. One example is that our half marathon that's been talked about off and on for the period of years here is where we postponed a half marathon. We are not going to be producing a half marathon in 2018. We're going to focus on our parades, our waterfront activities, Fleet Week, and the court, amongst many other community activities. And most importantly, we're going to embrace the power of human potential. We all see that. It's about asking for support and continuing our support. To give you an example, these last two slides just kind of puts in context why this all matters in facts, not just words. Our economic impact continues to be one of the strongest in our country for festival events, last time measured at $65 million. No other organization brings as many people together in settings of our parades, over 1 million people, that Commissioner Fish said. What doesn't get talked about, the platform for cultural exchange with our sister cities in particular. If there was no Rose Festival, no Rose Parades, where's the opportunity for our sister cities to come together and celebrate and have a reception and welcome our communities from across the globe? Rose Festival provides that. as well as our commitment to environment through our cleanup program, which has saved the Bureau of Environmental Services thousands and thousands of dollars through our community cleanup program. And then we invest in, you've heard it today, through partnerships with you, both in impact fees as well as the Rose Garden store and prior commitments to Portland International Raceway. We're a true partner, but you are the greatest beneficiary. You are the one, the city of Portland and its citizens is this gift that we get to give. So in closing, I just want to reiterate to say that 2018 provides us a great opportunity to rebound in a very big way. I think we all, Portland is ready to rebound. And I want to say, I say rebound in a context to show its true spirit, its spirit of connectivity, its, which it's showing already. And the Rose Festival is that opportunity at the, to show, put it on a world stage. And we're going to do, the Rose Festival Foundation, those volunteers and staff behind me are ready to deliver for you in that context. And final fact is, that's great, that's all, that is the plan, but what inhibits those plans? I will share with you this morning in my final comments to say long-term stable funding is always a challenge. It's a roller coaster ride. It's like Groundhog Day. Every year we got to raise money for produce the festival and turn around and raise it all over again, year in and year out. We have to continue to find relevant programming that meets our community's needs, especially at Waterfront Park. What do people want to attend? What do they like? And we got a more short-term challenge. We have to find a home for our floats in the context of float construction. We've been going year to year to year finding a home for constructing floats. That has got to be addressed, and that's a short-term challenge right now because we're still looking for a home to build floats in 2018 in Portland. And then we got to keep pace with the changing Portland, and we're up for that. That's an ongoing challenge, but we're always up for that. So, in conclusion, thank you very much for this time. I know you had a busy calendar day today, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, bring our team up in front of you, and share our commitment to you and to our citizens that we're in it for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May I have a question?
Please.
That you mentioned the $100,000 that the council allocated in this year's budget. Mm-hmm. Is that an ongoing allocation, or is that a one-time?
That was a one-time funding through Mayor Wheeler's budget in 2016-17.
Well, colleagues, I think we need to revisit that in this coming budget because we've just heard about the amazing support that the festival gives for the rest of Portland in the millions of dollars it brings in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Mayor, we have two reports before us. I'm going to move the adoption of report in 1243.
Do we have a second?
Second.
And could we please call the roll?
You, Daly.
Well, thank you for the reports, and I look forward to, we're not in the new year yet.
All right.
Next year's festival, aye.
I think one of the most important things that was said today is that it's not a pageant. It's not a beauty competition. It means so much, and it's been doing so much for women in Portland for over 100 years. And that's part of the reason that we're such a great city. So thank you very much, all of you. Aye.
Fish?
You know, Commissioner Fritz, I'm reminded of that on a regular basis when we're at public events, and Senator Wyden's, the staff person who represents him in the Tri-County area, Grace is a proud alum of this program and has gone on to glory. So another example of a young woman of distinction who got some leadership training and is now kind of a local rock star. Jeff, I'm going to save my substantive comments for the next one, but thank you to your team. And I will say this. This is the ninth year, I think, that we've had presentations from the Rose Festival Foundation. And I think this is the best that you've presented, and I appreciate that you wove together the data, but also the human face of this tremendous enterprise that you lead.
Thank you very much.
Very proud of our partnership. Aye.
Saltzman.
Yes, I was very impressed with today's presentation. I learned a lot. I'm thinking about where does the 54-member board meet? So that's kind of running through my mind. But anyway, that board obviously works very hard because you pull off a first-class festival here every year, and the city is certainly going to be a partner next year and into the future. I'm confident of that.
Thank you very much.
Good job. Aye.
Wheeler.
I just want to add my thanks. Thank you for the presentations today. They were nothing short of inspirational, And like my colleagues, I learned a lot today. But the important thing here is to, the main takeaway I want people to have here is these are volunteers. These are people in our community who represent the best interests of our community, who care about the community. And as you can see, there's nothing frivolous about the Rose Festival. It gets to some really important issues. It gets to leadership. It gets to equity. It gets to lifting each other up in a very positive way. It gets to coming together and supporting philanthropic and nonprofit efforts in the community. It's all great. It's all positive. I'm all in. Thank you for being here to share this presentation. I vote aye. The report is accepted.
Mayor, I move the report 1244.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on 1244. Please call the roll.
You Daly.
Thank you again. Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Three quick points. As Commissioner Fritz said and the mayor alluded to, you're our official festival, and we will remember that at budget time, and we are true partners. And so when you have a bump year, it seems to me only fair that we step up and see how we can help. Just two of my favorite memories from my favorite event, which is the Starlight Parade. I will never forget the year that you honored Clive Charles, and it was the last year of his life. And there was something so magical about the city showering him with love and gratitude. And the second was a personal favorite. I was in a car doing the circuit, and you get introduced about five or six times as you go through the circuit. And you always hope they just get your name right. And I'll never forget when we made the turn and we're coming down Broadway, and a very exuberant announcer said, "Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm welcome to Randy Leonard." I'll never forget that, Jeff. And, but it has not gotten in the way of our relationship and my support. We're really lucky to have the foundation. If I would say one benefit of this presentation is it is not in your nature to toot your horn all the time. So when we get a chance to get a focused presentation on everything that you're bringing to the city on our behalf, I think it's really valuable. And just like all my colleagues said, we all learned something today. So it's an honor to be the liaison that gets to work with you, and I'm just proud of everyone who's associated with this foundation. And thank you for your service. Aye. Thank
you. Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The report's accepted. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.